You might like to open your Bible to Psalm 7:8 for a moment. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, thank you again. God, just say thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Being Father's Day, then we will try to address as we try to hit these different points in our history. And in Psalm 78, you are reminded, as if you were reading it again, the people, it's a Maskil teaching psalm. So when you're reading it, it's to make sure you're refreshed in your memory about truth. So, sliding down, if I can, to verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wondrous works that he hath done. Sliding down to verse 5. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. And I'll read the verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which have not been born. So each generation would be handed down that what they need to know. Who should arise and declare them to their children? That purpose they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And as you just were reading, who's the centerpiece? The fathers. What were the fathers to do? They were to make sure they communicated to their family, to their children, to communicate truth about an awesome God who gave them birth and gave them the wonderful privilege to know him. So they were, that's their obligation, and the father's obligation. That's the father. And in the process of that, God's working out things. Our generation in which we live, I'm going back to the Second World War for some of you, and that the greatest generation of men back then. And in the process, what did they had a different. Say it easier. Today's generation is handicapped in ever developing and growing because of the sexual problems. I don't even know the alphabet that they are. You've got them all over the place. You don't know whether you're a boy or girl. So how can you even develop? How can you possibly grow up properly? You can't. And the government is involved, the educational system is involved, the social system is involved, and the parents, the young coming up, they aren't handing down that which their great-grandfather knew. They're handing down that which they've picked up in the system, and the system is growing and growing and growing and creating a society that is totally. They don't know whether, do you know how to grow up as a boy? No. Do you know how to grow up as a girl? You're one or the other. There's no mix-up in it. Now, can you grow up? No. No, because everything is fed to me. I have to allow everyone else to be cuckoo, and I can't adjust to a consistent standard. Do you understand? We're up against that. I feel bad. Nothing I can do. We've asked for it. All of these years, we never fixed it, and now we're reaping it, not only politically, dramatically, but worldwide. Now, why say all that? Because we're looking at fathers. So therefore, and the fathers are handicapped because they've been raised this way. This is how they think. They have no experience. They have no college of hard knocks. That's when we grew up. Little kids had to fight the battles. At 4 years old, you fight four-year-old battles. At 6 years old, you fight six-year-old battles. At 10 years old, you fight 10-year-old battles. That's what you grow up. You grow up and you fight and you do everything, get a bloody nose, and you stand up for what you believe or don't believe, and you grow up. You're just plain grow up. You grow up. That isn't happening. We can't even compete in sports or whatever. You got it all mixed up. So we can't have anyone win the basketball game. Remember that? Can't have anyone win the basketball game. There's no winners. So what's the sense of playing the game? You know. Anyway, that's what we're up against. So therefore, let us consider again a father. And I want you to know, and you know these things already, that there's no way on earth. And by the way, the Hebrew word father of means to bring into being, to produce, the source, the origin, the founding. We have the founding fathers, foundational. You can't got to have what? A foundation to put anything on. Fathers, you've got to have a father. Therefore, there is no boy or girl born on planet Earth that never had a father. None. Fathers are essential. Everything has to have an originator, a father. The father has to be there. So everyone has to have a father. There's no way around it. And therefore the child, as we look at it here, as you're going along, we're born physically. We're born by way of having a father. And when we're born, we don't know what it is to a father, a mother. We don't know the difference. We don't understand it yet. But it doesn't take very long. And we grow up a little bit. And we learn father, mother, difference. And we learn that. Now, as little babies, little children, we don't know what it is to be a father or a mother. We don't know that yet. We're too little. Boy, girl, we don't understand that. But what do we need to do? We need to grow up. We've been born physically, boy or girl, and we need to grow up in order to become adults. And if we don't grow up, people are concerned. People are concerned. You're 30 years old, and all you can say is gaga or goo-goo or something. That's not very good. You got to grow up. That's a father physically. Now, God, we're going to look at you. And God, you are awesome. So God, as we look at you, how do you present yourself to us? Father. That's how he presents us. Why? Because you can't have anything without a father. There has to be an originator, a source to do it. Therefore, no one is born physically without a father, and no one is born spiritually without the father. The father is required. You just can't be born without the father. So now, having said that, and what do we have to do when we get physical? You got to grow up. What do you do spiritually? You got to grow up. Not just grow. People grow and become whatever age, but they never grew up inside. They've grown full adults, but they haven't grown mentally. They're still little kids or something in their mind. They haven't grown up. to the responsibility of being adult, etc. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, I would like you to consider a awesome subject. Father, God is the Father. He's the source. You got that part. So if I'm going to talk about God, I have to talk about him and understand that he's the originator. He's the source. He's the one that begat, makes things happen. So God, when I look at you, by your word, otherwise I have no way to understand you except by creation, to know that you're awesome in every aspect of creation, from the sky to the bugs on the ground. I know you're awesome. So God, what I need to do, you've given us your word. So therefore, let's take it on. Over, if you would please, to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 3, picking up, please, in thought, remember Moses at the burning bush, and for time's sake, just go directly to verse 5. And he said, this is at the burning bush, the Lord to Moses, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, what else did you say to Moses, God? He said, I am the God of thy father. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the God. Who makes Moses God? Who makes Jacob God? God does. What happened to these men? They came to know their Creator, their God. My God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, sliding over if I can, to verse 13, just to pick it up. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers, who's the God of their fathers? The Father. The Father is the Father of all fathers. Verse 13, Moses said unto God, behold, I will come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am, he said. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. He's the God, our creator, God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Hang on. Over, if you would please, to Exodus 20. And remember, as Israel was introduced to God by way of Mount Sinai, among other things, Exodus chapter 20, picking up, please, in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many fathers do you have? One. You cannot have more than one father that I know of. You only can have one father. There's only one. That's a very special term. No matter how the father is, mother, I understand all kinds of situations that are horrible sometimes. I understand that. But irregardless of that, are you in Exodus 20 still? Slide over to verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Remember, we shared, that's the bridge. Us humans have a father and mother. We see them, we can touch them, know them. And with that, the last commandments, get the last six, get us to the first four, to God. God, how are you going to introduce yourself? By father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. That's how you're going to come. You have to have a father. You have to have one. And you have to honor him. You honor the father. In order to what? To know that there is a father who created your father. That's what you need to know. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so God, we need to know the God of our fathers. Each of us had a father, and the God is the originator of that person, like it or not, good or bad, right or wrong. Now, slide over, if you would please, take it a step further, over, if I can, to 1 Chronicles. And 1 Chronicles, and picking up, if I can, here's Solomon. And David is giving him his admonition to help him. Solomon is going to become the king. David's going to pass on. Verse 8, 28. Well, I'll go to verse 6. 28, 6. And he said unto me, Solomon, my son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. His father, God's, Solomon. Solomon, God's going to be your father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord, your God, that you may possess the good and leave the good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you ever, forever. So that's why Psalm 78, you got to keep handing on the information. And we said that before, all of us understand it, how much did your parents teach you about God? When your parents were done and you were 15 years old, how well did you know God? How well? And if we don't teach them, they don't know. So now, chapter 28, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, David's God. David's God. David, beloved son of God, David. Son of David. Wow. Son of God. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou God, the God of thy fathers, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So, Solomon, God is your father. Now, if you don't know him as father and don't honor him as that, then you're going to miss out. David, on the other hand, did. Solomon did not, as he should have. And because of Solomon's commitment to Israel, that's why he prayed. No, he said, God, give me wisdom. I don't know how to run this thing. I don't know how to be a king like David. And God helped him. God helped him. But he didn't get his heart right like he should have, could have. Now, having said that, over to 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and line up the dominoes, as it were. John, chapter 1. What do we know about God? The God of our fathers. God, the Father, God. And God picks, it's said, God, are you the father of everybody? He said, I am. I'm the father of everybody. Mm-hmm. When I go to the meeting, I go this week again, veterans thing. I remind them that God, our Father, but you aren't even saved. Ah, but God is the source of your life by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lamb was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. And every human being that ever would be, God looked at them and understood them. They hadn't even been existent. They didn't even exist except in his head mind, as it were. Now, so here's John. Let's take that and get that simple, easy, I hope. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God, you're God, the only God, the Creator, and the Father, etc., etc. So, and the Word, God, how are we going to know the invisible infinite God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? God, we know that from your Word. Now, God, you picked a way to get to you, Father. Why not Son? Why not God the Holy Spirit? Nope, Father. John chapter 1, verse 14. God in his essence, nature, being. Essence, nature, being is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is one. Nature, being, essence. That, how do we handle that, God? How do we approach you? How do we honor you? So, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, God the Son, became the Word, chose, was the one to be the Lamb slain, born in Bethlehem of Judea. God chose to be born in the Son of Mary, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. He chose to be born. His ministry, verse 18. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, to exegete him, to explain him, to explain, to put out so you could see the pieces and understand the puzzle, how they go together. God. So the purpose of our Lord, the God the Son, becoming flesh, is to be able to help us understand from a human viewing and a human way to communicate and understand God. God, that's what he's going to explain God to us. Okay, I got that. That's what he's doing. Now, God, I need you helping me understand, how do I handle your triunity, your awesome nature, essence, being? How do I honor you? I don't want to honor just the Spirit of God. I don't want to honor just the Son. I don't want to honor just the Father. And I don't. I want to honor God. I want to honor your awesomeness from top to bottom, as it were. Now, so therefore, over to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, you're going to recall, chapter 14, picking up, please, in the Lord, as he is there, verse 7. If you had known me, 14:7, in the upper room now, we're going back there next week, I guess. If you had known me, you should have known the Father, my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We've never seen the Father. Oh, that's true. How do you see the infinite, invisible God? You don't. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you have seen me, what's my purpose? To put the Father in front of you in a physical being. The Son is there. To all God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God. God is going to show himself by way of his Son, the Son. And the Son is going to go and put forth his wonderful person. Who is he going to exalt? God, that's right. How do I exalt God? By way of the Father. He's the creator. He's the source. God is the source. And I'm going to go, and the Lord said, I'm going to go and I'm showing you the Father. Hanging on, if I can. Verse 20. And ye, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's what you're going to know. And just watch it. It's going to keep coming. Chapter 17. And chapter 17, in the prayer in the upper room before he goes out to the garden. Verse 21. That purpose, 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So God, the Son, is making known God the Father in a most, most, most wonderful, wonderful way, and God is revealing the Father. So, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to go and make that known. He's this, look over chapter 14 back there again for a sec. And in chapter 14, verse 6, you know, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way to the Father. I'm the truth. I'm the truth. On the way. No, you can't come to God the Father apart from God the Son. No, you can't. Can't do it. Can't do it. How am I going to understand God? How am I going to enjoy God, which is our whole point today? How am I going to enjoy him? A father's a wonderful thing, but a person, they're things. Fathers are wonderful. They are. They're limited. They're human. I had one. You wouldn't believe I had one. I had a father. My father's a wonderful fellow. He did. And at least pointed me to God all the time. He did that when I was a little boy. That's the first thing I knew. I could go to bed, in my own bed. My father would kneel down with me before and we'd kneel down together by the bed and pray before I went to sleep. Every night we did that for, you know. He did that. So, yeah, my father's a wonderful fellow. He came to know the Lord as a Savior. And he never grew very much because he was in the Methodist Church and all of those things. But thank God. But what? At least he pointed me to God. And God, the Father, makes everything else as nothing. Because there's no human being that can compete with your God. Man, woman, boy or girl, husband, wife, brother, sister, no one can compete with God. No one to know him. That's what it's all about. That's right. David, what did you say to Solomon? You better know the God, my God, my God, the Father. You better know him. If you don't know him, Solomon, you aren't going anywhere very far, comparatively. Now, so here we are looking, if I can, and in the process, as we read together, so the Son of God is going to go in the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, over to verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 16. What are you going to say? Verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that purpose he may abide with you forever. Same, the word another, same of the same kind. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're all the same. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? To bring forth the wonderful, what God has made possible in the person of Jesus Christ, who died, to make us have a real, legitimate relationship to God that lasts forever. God's intended relationship before we were ever created, to have that relationship, to know him in a wonderful way. Now, what a Spirit of God, what are you doing? The Lord is going to look to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's ministry, where does it come from? The Spirit of God's ministry, because the Father is going to send. The Father, God the Father, is the centerpiece. God the Father is going to send God the Holy Spirit to make real all the wonderful things that God the Son has made real by dying on the cross. So the Spirit of God honoring the Son of God to honor the Father. How am we going to get? No one cometh to the Father but by me. You can't get there apart from the Father, apart from the Son, apart from the Spirit of God. Sliding over, I can, verse 20, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you from the Father. So all of it's wonderful. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, God, how are we supposed to know you? By way of the Father. The Father. Our Lord's going to say it later. You aren't going to ever pray, and you aren't going to pray to me anymore. You're going to pray to my Father. That's what you're going to do. How am I going to honor God? I understand the Father sent the Son, the Spirit of God, to help what? Make all of the wonderful saving grace of God become real. God in your entirety, your essence, your nature, your being. You are awesome. And that's what I want to understand. Father, you see? Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you can, and we're to have a unique relationship to God, a wonderful relationship to God, the Father, in a most wonderful way. And without turning there for time's sake, in 1 Corinthians 15 and all that, you know the first Adam gets us into trouble, and the second Adam, the last Adam, I should say, there is no second, is called the last Adam because there is no more. He's the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. First Adam gets us into trouble. The second, last Adam saves us. He saves us in his glorious and wonderful name. So that, 1 Corinthians 15 again, that God may be all in all. Now, God, how are we going to appreciate you? We have to appreciate you by way of Father. Father. And when I honor the Father, I'm honoring the Son. I'm honoring the Spirit of God. When I honor the Spirit of God, I'm honoring the Son and honoring the Father. When I honor the Son, I honor the Father, I honor the Spirit of God. God, I want to enjoy in some way, in my little minuscule way, I want to be able to address you properly. I want to honor you properly. I want to enjoy you properly, God, for who you are, my Father. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over if you would please, over to Matthew. You were there. In Matthew chapter 6, if I can. And I just want you to know what you read. And as you do so, if I can, chapter 5, Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, remember, chapter 5, I'm going to go directly to verse 45 in the light of all of that context. That purpose, you may be the children of your what? Father. Now remember, they want to know, the Lord Jesus is what? John the Baptist has preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. John the Baptist is off the scene. What did the Lord do? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. So here are the people, and they're there, pile of people there, thinking there, and he's going to give them a message. You want the king? You want the king to reign? This is what it's like when if you want me to be your king, this is what it's going to be like. This is what it's going to be. And I got Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? For, verse 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore, in the light of it all, you're going to look to God, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect. And we shared that the other day to remind you again and again. Why can that be? Because the Son, when you get saved, makes it possible for you to know him, to be his child, to be his son. He's the Father. And when he's your Father, and he is going to be God and everything in your life in Christ Jesus, be ye, I'll do it a different way, you know it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. I in you, I am your life. I am what you are not. I am to you perfect. I am to you holy. I am to you now. So therefore, exercise your relationship to me. And be holy. But I'm not. I didn't ask you to be. He said, I have made you holy in my Son. If you're in his Son. If you're in the room, you're protected from the thunderstorm. If you're outside, the thunderstorm can hit you. If you're in the room, you're protected. In the Son, you have the benefits. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, the praying with no repetitious, not going anywhere. Lots of prayers, but no life to it. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So the whole 5, 6, and 7 is all about the Father. You want the king? You want the kingdom? Who's the king? The Father is. It's about God, the Father. Hang on. Verse 9, the prayer. After the same manner also, therefore, pray, verse 9, pray ye, O my, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the Lord's, the disciples' prayer, actually. Not the Lord's prayer. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. So over chapter 6, Father, and you read it, going over, what are we reading? Picking up, if I may, sliding down, picking up verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. Brother, they gather not, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. For are you not much better than many than they are? Surely you are. The Father. Huh? Sliding down, if I can. Picking up, please. Go down to verse 30, you'll pick up the thought. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But in other words, don't worry about life. When you were growing up, I understand the variations and all kinds of conditions that may not be, but normally in growing up, in the normal thing, as it could be, should be, the mother and father take care of everything. And you never had to think about whether there was food in the ice chest or the refrigerator. You never had to think about anything. You never had to think about it. You didn't have to think about making the bed, washing the sheets, your dirty clothes. When you got sick to your cold, you never worried about, did I have the right medicine? Nope, you just trusted. That's what God said I want you to do. I want you to trust me like you used to. That's what said our Lord, you know, John 17. Except as you become what? As little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to become little children. He's the Father. That's what he wants to be. Oh, really? Yeah, that's what he wants to be. We don't know. Who knows that? Who cares, right? Yeah, no one cares. Our Father, so now, and verse 32, and after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, and seek ye first the kingdom of God, and etc. And verse 34, don't worry about anything. You got enough problems on this day. Don't try to pick up Monday's problems yet. Why don't you just work through today's problems? You got enough. Don't add Monday or Tuesday. I know they're coming, but you don't have to carry them. You don't carry them till you get there. You don't carry them till you get there. They're only in your mind. Now, sliding over, if I can, in the light of all of that, God, our Creator, our Savior, in a most wonderful way. So when, without turning there in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now God, so when I receive you as my Savior, we're not born of the flesh, born of blood, born of the will of man. No, you know, verse 13, we're born of God. God. So when I receive the Lord as my, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing in your heart, and God makes you a child, a son, a child. That's what God makes you, a legitimate child, a wonderful, wonderful, legitimate child. And you know him as Creator, Savior, and Father. He's the Father. That's a wonderful thing. And in the process of that, God requires that you're going to look to him with all of your heart. And John, over to John 3 again, if you can, John 3, if you can, pick that up. Let's see everything, but read it. Here's John chapter 3. And picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 3 and in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the Spirit, flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you have to be born spiritually, we said. You got to go from an AM radio, you got to get an FM radio. God, you have to go and do something wonderful. And God the Father, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that work in a most, most wonderful way. Now, and so God, as we do that, we want to exercise that relationship that we're to have to you in a most wonderful way. And it's going to involve a unique fellowship as a child. I'm going to be, so when I get come to know the Lord as my Savior, I am, you are, the believer is a child of God. He's a son. He's a joint heir. If you're saved, you're all three of those. You're a child, you're a son, you're a joint heir. You can't be saved unless you're that. That's the starting point. Now, That's what we are. And what do we belong? We belong to God. We are there, and we belong to God as a son. As a son. We belong to God. We belong to God as a son. And therefore, we're in the family business. We belong to God as a child. Therefore, we have his constant care. Watching over us, he has to do it. We do everything we can, as much as we understand it. But God, so we have a child going that way. God is care. We have a son. And we're part of the family business. We're a son. And we're joint heirs. So we have a wonderful stewardship, benefits of God's grace. He's resurrected, and we're here enjoying his resurrection. We're joint heirs, and we're able to show the grace of God in a most wonderful way. And God is going to glorify himself. God is glorious, and which he's doing, Father's glorious. And you don't have to turn, you're here, you aren't far away, so why not? Over to John chapter 17. And you recall what you know. Our Lord, making it clear, chapter 17, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, God has given him wonderful glory to make it all real, make it all work in God's wonderful way. Picking up, if I can, look at chapter 17, verse 4, so you're connecting something. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. O Father, now Father, verse 5, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Got that part? That's God. Before he took on a human body, sliding down. Now to verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that purpose they may be one even as we are. How are you going to enjoy God unless God is there to help you do it? God has to make it happen. It ain't going to happen without God. It's not going to happen. You can pray and memorize and run around the block 15 times and try to earn something. It ain't going to work. It isn't going to work. God does it in his grace. Not you, not works, not any flesh. Nope. In his wonderful grace, God does that in a most wonderful way. So therefore, we are being and we belong. We belong as to the Father as a child, and et cetera. So all the benefits of the stewardship of God, we're to have all of those benefits in a most wonderful way. Now, in the... Just Luke chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2. Watch how it comes out all kinds of different ways. In Luke chapter 2, picking up please, in verse 49. Our Lord is 12 years old, and remember, they're inquiring and trying to get information out of him. And he said unto them, 49. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my, what? Father's business. My Father's business. You got that? Our Lord, your Savior, when you get saved, is what? About his what? His Father's business. He was 12 years old. He died on the cross, he rose again, and he resides, you received him as your Savior and Lord. And he's what, doing what? Is the business changed? Is God changed? Is anything changed? No. He's about the Father's business. Therefore, you got Luke chapter 2:49. Now add a number. Go to Luke 24:49. 24:49. At the end. And you'll note, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Remember we just read the Spirit of God's going to go, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that on behalf of the Father real that Christ did in the cross. For behold, I send, verse 49, the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's what Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's it for? Acts 1, 4. I told you, wait for the promise of the Father. You got the Spirit. Where's it going to come from? The Spirit of God is going to make real, awesome, what Christ has done on the cross. He's going to make that real to you. And when he makes that real, what are you going to do? You're in the Father's business. You're part of the Father's business. The Father's business. That's what it's about. The Father's business. Now, God, we got to close over, if you would, to Mark. Appreciate your patience and hope you got a little bit. Mark chapter 14. Yes, we're getting there. All right, here's the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you have it in Luke, etc. My Father, let this cup pass from me, etc. Now I want to read it in Mark. Four different windows to look at the same thing. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. He said unto me, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, going to the cross. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. God, I just want your will. It's the cross. I came to do your will. And would you notice how he addresses him? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now, over to Romans. Romans chapter 8, or you could go to Galatians chapter 4, but don't. Galatians 4, verse 6, but chapter 8 is fine. And you'll note, what are we learning? Our Lord said, Abba, Father, and what do you know? Spirit of God, what are you doing, present tense, all the time? Are you reminding me about my job, my work, my home? No. I'm reminding you about your Father. That's what I want you. Don't forget the Father. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How so? Keep a relationship as a child, as a son, to be, to belong, to become, as in a relationship. Let it work, let it work. Therefore, verse 15, as you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, and the old system of trying to do it all by your lonesome, it never works. But you've received the spirit of adoption to be placed as a son. That's the word. Son plus to be placed as a son. Adoption. We're outside. He's inside. He reaches his hand out and grabs you and pulls you in. And all the rags you got, and all the junk you got, God does something wonderful and changes you into his house, in his son, in God the Father. And all of a sudden, out there, he's your Father, but you never knew it, never, nothing. But in here, in Christ, as a son, as a child, as a joint heir, wow, Father. And therefore, when you come as in adoption, whereby the end of verse 15, we cry, he says it, Galatians, and we repeat it after him. The same thing our Lord said, Abba, Father, Abba, my Father, Hebrew, Abba, Father, Greek, Hebrew, Father, Father, my Father. My Father. It's Father's Day. And you can't enjoy Father's Day anywhere near. You couldn't even come close until you get to your heavenly Father. And all of a sudden, all the earthly things sort of melt away. And the awesomeness, because all of us guys are just guys. That's all we is. And we're flesh. And you're going to put us in a box and bury us. Maybe not in a box. Save money. A lot of things. Father, that's where you're headed. I shared it 1,000 times. You already have eternal life. You don't, there's no time to it. There's no past, there's no present, there's no future. It's just now. What is it? Now, God is your life. How would I know God? To enjoy the life. My Father. My Father. My Father. That's how you enjoy the life. As a child. As a son. As a joint heir. That's how you enjoy the life. And all the rest of it, your head's in the quicksand trying to get things better. And all it does is keep sinking. Our society's going to keep going downhill. And the generation, God help us, coming up, if the Lord tarries. That's all I can say. But at least there's a handful of believers across the world that are going to hang in there. And you can't take away my, you can put me in a bamboo hut and take away everything in my life and whip me in between. But when you're all done, when you're all done doing everything you could conceive, you can't take away my Father and the life He has given me. You can't touch Him. Matthew chapter 10. Don't worry about the guy, the gal, the gang coming up, all the gangs coming across the border. Wow. Wow. No, it isn't the gangs. Gangs, all they can do is hit your body. Matthew chapter 10. They can't touch you. To touch you is to touch the apple, the little black part of your eye that you see out of. The Lord said to touch the black is to touch me. So no one plays. All the, we'll pick it up. All that the Father giveth me shall what? Come to me.